So I want to welcome you to Standing Firm, the podcast. Hey, grab you a cup of coffee and join me for today's episode. We're going to explore Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25.
Rockford Baptist Church is located at the crossroads of Coosa County, where Alabama Highway 22 and U.S. Highway 231 crosses, where the Coosa County Courthouse is located. South of the crossroads is the 175-year-old Rockford Baptist Church, which serves as the hands and feet of Jesus. You are invited to join us this Sunday morning for our weekly worship celebration at 11 o'clock. You may choose to join us in the sanctuary at 9575 U.S. Highway 231 in Rockford 35136. Or you may join us on Facebook Live at Rockford Church or on YouTube at Jeff Fuller Standing Firm. We are families founded in faith as we exalt the Savior, equip the saints, and evangelize the sinner. At Rockford you will find friendly folks who offer fellowship to inspire and reveal the light of God's love. Visit our website at rockfordbaptistchurch.org. Come and experience the difference Christ can make in your life.
Welcome to Standing Firm, the podcast with Pastor Jeff Fuller. Here, we will discuss being a disciple of Christ. As we meet together, we will talk about the scriptures, applying them to our lives to make an impact on those around us. The podcast is produced by Rockford Church in Rockford, Alabama. Check us out at www.rockfordbaptistchurch.org. Come, follow Jesus as we dig deeper, grow taller, and stand stronger.
Saved to the uttermost, such wonderful words, such incredible words. Words of purpose, words of promise, words of power. Don't those words ring so true to those of us who are Southerners? The uttermost? Today's verse comes from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. And while we were researching for this podcast episode, I found this verse in the Message. Yeah, it reads pretty cool. Earlier, there were a lot of priests, and for they died and they had to be replaced. But Jesus' priesthood is permanent. He's there from now to eternity to save everyone. To save everyone who comes to God through Him. Always on the job, so to speak, for them. Jesus Christ is able to save all of us to the uttermost. He's able to save us completely. You see, those who draw near to God through Jesus Christ, Jesus lives to make intercession for us. That means that Jesus' salvation is complete. It means that Jesus' salvation is enduring. It means that He has a perpetual ministry with us. A ministry of intercession. He is securing our salvation from beginning to end.
Our scripture is from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25 as recorded in the New International Version. Now there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Come, follow Jesus. As we dig deeper, grow taller, and stand stronger. Now, the podcast host, Pastor Jeff Fuller.
The saved to the uttermost comes from the Bible. It's in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And it states that Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost, to save completely, those who draw near to God through Him. because he always lives to make intercession for us. That means that Jesus' salvation is complete. It means that his salvation is enduring. It means that it involves his perpetual ministry of intercession as he secures our complete salvation from the beginning to the end. Here's a breakdown of the verse. And let's talk about its meaning today. Because in the King James Version, we can read Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 in this fashion. Wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, this verse is a larger argument by the author of Hebrews about Jesus' superiority. It's about his unchanging priesthood. And it's comparing Jesus to the Old Testament prophets. Now understand that Jesus is sinless. Jesus is an eternal high priest. Jesus offers a complete and final sacrifice that provides everlasting salvation, that gives him the right to give perpetual intercession for believers. And it is this priest, Jesus Christ, that saves to the uttermost. Oh, the priests of the Old Testament, they couldn't say that. Because you see, the Old Testament priest could not save to the uttermost. Their priesthood was temporary. Their priesthood was flawed by death. Their priesthood was limited by their own sinfulness. Their sacrifices were only symbolic, and they needed to be repeated continually, year after year after year. It's these limitations that made things in the Old Testament appear to be a sad state of affairs. The Levitical priests were human beings. They would eventually die. And because of that, it necessitated a continual succession of many different priests. These priests were sinners themselves. And because of that, they had to offer sacrifices for themselves before they could even atone for the sins of the people. And these animal sacrifices that they offered could only provide a symbolic and temporary atonement for sin. These sacrifices could not actually remove sin. We find that the Levitical priesthood was limited to serving just the Israelite people. It was exclusive for Israelites. It did not extend to offering sacrifices to other nations. So from our understanding of Scripture, we see Jesus' superior priesthood. For you see, Jesus is eternal and sinless. See, Christ is a priest forever. And he's the priest forever by the power of an indestructible life. He's holy. He's innocent. He's separate from sinners. Because he is eternal and he is sinless. Jesus Christ is sinless. He never sinned. And he is the final sacrifice. Because you see, he offered himself as a perfect and final sacrifice for sins. And that only needs to be done once. And only once. He is not only eternal and sinless, and not only is he the final sacrifice once for all, Jesus is offering perpetual intercession. Because you see, Jesus Christ is the one who stands for us, living forever to make intercession for believers, continually advocating for believers, standing before God the Father, making intercession. Thus, Jesus' sacrifice gives complete salvation. It's because of these qualities that we've listed that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost any who draw near to God through Him. He is able to provide a complete and a perfect and an unending sacrifice, an unending salvation, an unending eternity. When we look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, as it speaks of being saved to the uttermost, we need to look at the context of this verse. Because you see, the passage in Hebrews chapter 7 explains that the old covenant priesthood had limitations. But yet it was a precursor to the superior and the permanent priesthood of Jesus Christ. Remember that the Old Testament points to the New Testament, and the New Testament points back to the Old Testament, and the book of Revelation points to eternity. See, Jesus' eternal, sinless, powerful high priesthood is the only one capable of saving people completely and forever. As we said, the Old Testament sacrifices were nothing more but a symbol and a sign of what was to come. So we have the reason that the phrase signifies completeness, that it signifies totality. It means that salvation in Jesus Christ is not partial, but it encompasses every aspect of a person's salvation, from their regeneration to their justification, through the process of their sanctification, and into the final glorification. He always lives to make intercession. It indicates a complete salvation. Jesus lives eternally, and He continues to intercede on behalf of a believer. As He stands before the Father, He's ensuring our salvation is never ending and it's never lost. And because of His completeness, we have a better hope. And because of His completeness, we have an enduring salvation. And because of His completeness, we're offered a better and more secure hope than the old covenant. Can you imagine what it was like in the Old Testament? Yes, there was faith in the Old Testament, but there was great fear. There was a fear that crippled God's people. If you question that, you need to look at the journey through the wilderness. If you question that, you need to look at Joshua's, at the incidences of Joshua as he brings the people into the promised land. Oh, you could go further back and you can see Noah's time. You can see Adam and Eve when they left the Garden of Eden. There was not much hope there. The old covenant didn't bring complete, finished hope. We have salvation that's never lost. You know, I love a variety of genres of music. I like country. I like contemporary gospel, contemporary Christian. I like gospel, especially the old gospel, I'll Fly Away, soon and very soon. I like classic rock. I like hymns. I love the hymns. One such hymn is, "I Found a Friend Who Is All to Me." The verses are very beautiful. "I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. Saved by His power. Saved by His power divine. Saved to a new life. to new life sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm. He secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on His mighty arm. I know He'll guide me all the way. Listen, when poor and needy and all alone, in love He said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Now, let me give you the backstory of that beautiful hymn. For you see, that hymn was written by J.P. Schofield in 1911. He wrote the song after being inspired by a man's salvation. The salvation took place during Mordecai Ham's evangelistic sermon in Gonzales, Texas. The man was a murderer. The man heard Ham preach that Christ is a refuge, and he was so moved that he cried out, saved, saved, saved. Schofield, a musician, of course, traveling with Mordecai Ham, was so inspired by the event that he composed the song the very next day. He captured in that song the joyful experience of receiving spiritual rescue. Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost. We need a joyful declaration like this hymn. This hymn repeats the phrase, saved, saved, saved. And it has become a popular song because it testifies of the power and it testifies of the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ. We need to understand the spiritual rescue that is within us from Jesus Christ. This song experiences and expresses the profound joy, the confidence that comes from being rescued and being made whole through faith in Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross. This concept of spiritual rescue is to be saved from sin and its spiritual consequences. To be rescued, receiving the free gift of grace through faith, repentance, allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of all. And I'll say it like I said it this morning. If He's not Lord, He's not Lord at all. The salvation that we have from Jesus Christ, that salvation from sin is through faith in Jesus Christ. And we see the examples throughout the Word of God. We find them in the pages of Scripture in Holy Writ. Remember the phrase, once was blind? You say, oh yeah, Brother Jeff, I remember that phrase. It's in a song. It sure is, but it's also in Scripture. For in John chapter 9, verse 25, from the New Testament, we read of a man who was miraculously healed by Jesus. And he declares, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. You see, in this passage, the man is testifying to his physical healing from a lifetime of blindness. And he uses the experience to assert the truth of Jesus' power, even while being questioned by the religious authorities. You see, Jesus saw this man who was blind from birth, and he healed him. He healed him by creating mud and applying it to his eyes. The disciples, of course, questioned. They asked Jesus about the man's blindness. They wonder if it was the result of the man's sin or if it was the result of his parents' sin. But Jesus explained that the blindness of the blind man was allowed so that the works of God could be displayed in him. Of course, the religious authorities had to come along, and they had questions too. For when the man was brought before these religious authorities, they were trying to find fault with Jesus, and so they demanded that the man give credit to God and acknowledge that Jesus is a sinner. But in response, he comes back with that wonderful phrase, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. He doesn't know. His experience of sight is a concrete reality. The spiritual significance of this scripture is very strong, and it's much needed today. For you see, using the man's physical healing as a metaphor for spiritual transformation, we can find that Jesus opens the spiritual eyes of the blind, the sinner, the one who's lost and down in the gutter. He can take them, he can open up their eyes, and they can see the truth of the gospel, and they can see Jesus' identity. Another example is how about the one who was once opposed? You see, the biblical figure of one who was once opposed to the gospel was one who transformed into a prominent missionary, and that is the Apostle Paul. He was originally called Saul of Tarsus, and before his miraculous conversion, Saul was a zealous Pharisee, and he was actively persecuting the early followers of Jesus Christ. There's details of his opposition and his conversion, and it's told in the book of Acts. He persecuted the church. You see, Saul first appears on the pages of the New Testament at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and is described as in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And from there, he began to ravage the church, entering house after house, the scripture says, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. But there's a day that he comes to journey to Damascus. And with permission from the high priest, Saul traveled to Damascus to arrest any Christian that he found and to bring them back to Jerusalem. But there was something else waiting for him. There was a conversion, an experience, unlike any he'd ever had. For you see, while he was on the road to Damascus, a blinding light from heaven flashed around Saul. It knocked him to the ground, and he heard the voice of Jesus asking, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He was struck blind by the encounter, and because of that, he couldn't see. And so they led him into Damascus. And Jesus then appeared in a vision to a Christian disciple named Ananias, and he instructed him to go find Saul and to heal his sight so that he might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ananias, though fearful, of course, he obeyed God. And after Ananias laid his hands on him, Saul's sight was restored and Saul was baptized. You see, following this dramatic event, Paul became a powerful evangelist. And he did so with fervor and faith. He gave to those people that he tried to destroy the message of salvation. And his missionary journeys spread the gospel across the Roman Empire. And his letters or his epistles, they form a significant portion of the New Testament. What a man he became. How about another example? How about the phrase "once was possessed," like the one from Gerasen, the demoniac in Mark chapter 4? Because you see, this guy in Mark chapter 5 verses 1 through 20 was a man named Legion. His name derived from his condition, for he was tormented by a legion of demons. And sadly, he lived naked among the tombs. And he had supernatural strength. But Jesus cast the demons out, who then entered a herd of pigs and caused them to drown. His power over these demons is emphasized. It's demonstrated in his authority as the Messiah, his ability to restore, his ability to bring freedom, his ability to bring wholeness. That transformation after deliverance, from being once possessed to being clothed in their right mind, it showcases the complete transformation, the freedom that Christ brings. You look back at the man named Legion. You look back at the story of Saul being transformed into Paul. You look back at the woman who was healed from the issue of blood. You look back and you see that he brings transformation, that Jesus brings change, that Jesus Christ brings hope. Once was lost is another phrase I want you to think of. And that verse describing being lost, it's about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 24. That scripture states, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found." Hey, Brother Jeff, that's another phrase from another song called Amazing Grace. Listen, the prodigal son, that parable is a wonderful parable, for it illustrates the joy of God when a sinner repents and a sinner turns back to him. The father in the parable celebrates the return of his lost son who was lost and is found. There's three parables of lost things. The story of the prodigal son is one. The other one is the lost sheep and the lost coin. And they highlight how God seeks out and how God rejoices in finding that which is lost. Think about it. Think about it. We've all been there. Some may still be there. You may still be there. You've been blind. You've been lost. You've been consumed with fear. You've even indulged in the fleshly desires. You may very well now be blind. You may be lost. You may be consumed with fear. You may be driven by the fleshly desires. You may be living apart from God. But I want you to know, Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost. There's another scripture that I have in mind, and it's from Ephesians chapter 5. For you once were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, "Get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Hey, as I conclude today, I want you to remember that we've been saved to the uttermost. Nothing is more vital for life. Nothing is more wonderful than to be secured in the hands of an Almighty God. If you do not have that security, if you do not have the hope of salvation, then here's what you need to do. You need to admit. That's number one. Admit. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. And acknowledge the fact that sin separates you from God. And there's not a thing you can do about it. Recognize that by disobedience, you are disobeying God, a holy God. And he can't have a relationship with sin. Admit that you need him. Believe. Believe. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. Believing that he is God's son. That his son is the one who died on the cross for your sins. And that he is the one who rose again. This means that you're trusting his sacrifice that was made for you. You're trusting the fact that Jesus Christ can save you. And confess. Verbally confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This involves turning away from your sin. This involves inviting Jesus Christ to be a part of your life. Have you done this? Why don't you pray after me? Why don't you pray after me this prayer of confirmation? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins, that you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. Why don't you let me know that you've joined me today with this decision for Christ? Email me at rbccusa@gmail.com. And let's communicate about your next steps of being a disciple of Christ.
Thank you for being with us today for Standing Firm, the podcast with Pastor Jeff Fuller from Rockford Church in Rockford, Alabama. Take time to like, comment, and share our video. Join us each weekday morning on Facebook Live at Dr. J.W. Fuller and Rockford Church for the weekly Standing Firm devotion at 9 a.m. We also stream live on the YouTube channel at Jeff Fuller Standing Firm. Visit our website at rockfordbaptistchurch.org. We will be watching for you on our next episode of Standing Firm, the podcast. Come, follow Jesus, as we dig deeper, grow taller, and stand stronger.
Next steps of being a disciple of Christ. Thank you for being with me for the podcast. And join me next week for Season 1, Episode 3, as we begin talking about being a disciple of Christ. We're going to do an interview next week. Until then, until next time.